That was loud.
That was very loud.
Okay, what up, everybody? It's the Kung Fu Kings of Kingdom podcast.
Oh boy, that listens loud.
Yes, what's going on, y'all? It's another week of podcasting. I have returned from my last absence.
I thought you would die, but you resurrected. Thank God.
God, God is to blame. Which is the theme of this week? Thank you, God.
God, we love because he's everywhere. We love that our fourth host this week is God. He's here with us.
He was always here.
He's very quiet. He's shy. He's a little shy. He's a little hesitant.
He's a little shy.
He's never done the podcast before. He's not used to it. Usually he does things on scrolls or, you know, stone tablets.
But he's very old-fashioned.
But he made sure like to tell us he doesn't want to be poked in the tummy because he's ticklish.
He told us that. He's like a tickle me Elmo.
He's like, and it's like, God, okay.
But sit I'm down. Your host, Jake Smith, if you wanted to know.
I am your host, James Halleck.
Oh, this old gag again. James, tell him who you... Oh, he's gearing up. Are you all right?
I'm not recording.
I can do a good James.
That was good, too. Give us your James.
Watch. Bam! That's it.
I thought that was me.
That was... Even you were like me.
Even I was fooled.
That's stupid.
Subway is the best movie ever.
That is James. That's
Luther is the heart of the group.
Here's the thing. Luther is the dad of the group. That's what he was saying. Luther is everyone's daddy. But what are we talking about this week, Hiram? Or James?
We are talking about.
I'm getting you too confused.
Well,
I mean,
like, there's a couple things I want to ask.
There's a lot of couple things.
I would like to ask, does anyone have any news?
Yeah, do you have any news? Because there's not much from my end, except the Cyberpunk 2077 gameplay, which was cool.
Yeah, which looks really cool.
Which you guys should check out. We can talk about it more. It was like an hour, so I just kind of combed through it. But it is first person, which for me, I was kind of disappointed.
I didn't watch it because...
It's cool.
No, and I'm super excited for the game, and that's why I didn't watch it, because I know that, like, it's just going to make me... It's just going to make me not be able to wait for it. Like, 5 years ago, Kingdom Hearts 3 put out gameplay footage, and everyone was like, it's right around the corner, and then it's been 5 years.
Yeah, because this game looks like one that'll be like, it's delayed again, but don't worry.
Yeah, I can already sense that it's going to be delayed.
It's going to be delayed till 2077. Like, that's the year it's going to come out. They've announced it.
Sad.
And then we say, what the fuck, 2077? That's so long. And you're like, it's in the title.
Got him.
Yeah, this is like, what did you expect?
We told you right up front. I just wanted to watch it because I wanted to see what the gameplay even was.
Yeah,
like.
I'll probably still watch it. I'm weak.
You get to drive in it. That's pretty cool. And then you have these cool, like the intricate missions.
It takes place in the future.
It's punk, dude. It's punk. Cyber.
It's cyber. Full of punks.
It's oozing with cyber.
Oh man, I have a question though.
Give it to me.
Ask it.
This is like on an unrelated note. Like, is it really true that Game of Thrones, the final season, is delayed? Because I keep hearing, like, I keep seeing articles and stuff like that. Is that true?
Delayed again?
Know?
No, it's never been, like, they've never been, like, it's delayed. They just never really announced when it was coming back next year. But now it's going to be at least June of next year because the visual effects supervisor said it wasn't going to be eligible for Emmy consideration next year, and the deadline for that is May 31st.
People
are like,
they know
at
least June.
Yeah, so then it's
if
at least
June.
June
1st, that'd be sad.
Well,
I'd
be really sad because like a whole lot of finales.
They're running to the Emmys with the VHS copy of the episode. Please.
I was really worried because I'm like, 2019 is like a really good year for like endings, you know what I mean? Like, you know, Avengers 4, Game of Thrones, and then you have like episode 10.
Isn't Star
Wars?
No, episode 9.
Episode 9,
How could you?
Episode 32? How many are there?
I think they're going to... Yeah, like, I can't keep up with any of them. I think... Yeah. Were they going to try and make episode 9 a two-parter? Because if they do, I'd be so in.
I'd be out.
Oh, episode 9 and a half? I would not like... That's stupid.
I would like that, because, like, episode 8 was such a waste of time.
It was, but, like, you can't make up
they didn't really,
for two... Just make
can.
A good, concise movie. No, 4 hours of something doesn't make... Like, it's not like it... makes eight
you need,
not happen.
Yeah, because
eight
like,
was so long.
Here's the thing. These are, I mean, I know it's like 7, 8, and 9, but
really it's only three movies of story you're telling here, because the Star Wars movies kind of reset every three, you know. Yeah. The prequels are their own thing, the originals are their own thing, and you can watch these new ones and not be confused, because they're like their own contained story to an extent.
Yes, you're but right.
The only times I feel like you need like two-part finales or for like much longer stories, like Infinity War, the fact that that's like back-to-back movies makes sense, because it's like there's like 20 movies before it.
Yeah, and the thing about it is that you have so many characters in that, in, you know, Civil War, Infinity War, that you need it. You can write a story and make it one movie for Star Wars. Like, and a lot of the two-parters are because they're based on these long-ass books, and they're like, oh, the only way to fit it in and be is, like, you know, respectful to the source material is to make it two-part. Yeah. So, like, Infinity War isn't even technically two parts.
No.
By the way, it's not like it's not part one and part two.
Even though it feels like it.
Oh, it is.
Like, Infinity War ended on such a part one feel.
It's just, you know, putting part one in a title makes it sound stupid. I don't like that anyway. Even if they made Star Wars into two parts, if they disguised it where it wasn't really, they just called it episode 10, whatever. Yeah. But, like, putting so many numbers in the title, you know? Like, what if they got into that with movies like the Kingdom Hearts, where they were like 9.5.5?
They do that already.
Oh, with movies? Kingdom Hearts 2.8.
I meant like in movies.
Oh, you meant in movies.
Yeah, they came out with Star Wars Episode 9.4.
Yeah, and you were like, God, because they keep trying to get it right. They're like, God, we're fucking this up.
Man. Even 9.4 takes forever. Square Enix!
You dumbasses.
I think, I don't know, man, because you'd be surprised how much you could turn an entire franchise around in one movie. Like,
True. They did that with Captain.
You're right.
Think about how it doesn't happen all the time, but there are a lot of good examples of, like, the first movie's, like, lame, and then all of a sudden the second movie's, like, great.
Well, for a lot of people, even though I like Batman Begins, that's my favorite one of the three, a lot of people, like, came around because The Dark Knight was so good. Like, people were like, Batman Begins is good, but it's, like, whatever. It's just a new Batman movie.
The original X-Men, like, the first X-Men 1 is like, all right. X-Men 2 is, like, amazing.
Oh, yeah, X-Men 2 made it. Like, X-Men 1.
That thing, that, like, is also an example. Oh, go ahead, Jake, sorry.
Oh, no. I won't.
Or an even better example, I think.
I'm sorry,
go ahead. Go ahead, I don't care.
I think an even better example would be Days of Future Past, just because First
Class is great.
Well, yeah, First Class actually would be probably the better example of that, because...
Definitely.
Because there was, like, a string of, like, four terrible movies, and they didn't need to do, like, a two-parter to fix it.
I felt like it was X-Men 3 and Wolverine, and that was it. Was there
another one. I thought there was another bad movie.
Blob Origin movie? Squeeze that in there somewhere?
it's funny, because, like, I was before we
left. Blorigins.
Blorigins.
That's stupid.
Before we left to James's house, I was confused. I was, like, really conflicted, not confused, on whether I like First Class more or X2 more as my favorite X-Men movie. I can't decide.
As your favorite one.
Yeah, which one is my favorite? Because, like...
Apocalypse, though.
Yeah, come on, don't jump like that.
I wish it was called a pair of Lips. It was just a fashion movie.
A Pair of Lips.
I wish it was that. And it was all about... It's a good call.
I forgot the point I was making. Never mind.
Yeah, me too. The sounds through a song.
Moving on.
What are you doing?
Eating some peanut butter filled pretzels.
It's the worst. Worst food to eat during a podcast, because you can't talk for a while.
Says you. I'm talking very frequently.
Says you.
Salted pork. Anyway.
Right. That's good.
Where did that warrant that sound?
Salted pork.
It's about food.
Oh, I said peanut butter. Ah, yes, salted pork.
Oh, my God. I did have game news.
Oh, tell us your game news.
But it's only like, it's not really, it's super minor.
Wait a second.
Any news that you give us is important.
Fellas.
What?
I forgot to play the news theme.
You really did.
Fuck me.
You're not on the ball right now.
Get down, get down, get down.
Yeah, You know, I forget that, like, I forget that that's the new male theme.
I know,
like,
I was waiting for the new season.
Yeah, the new season. I have that ingrained in my memory. And Jay sing along with it, trying to, like, not be mad.
I get on my frustrations with song.
With the newsies.
What's your minor game news?
The minor game
all news about minors.
Is that, like,
Minecraft.
Okay.
Oh, yes. That's what I meant.
Shit, I forgot what it was. No.
Dear God.
No.
Come on, Hiram. You're slipping.
I am.
You're mine.
Look, man. I've been. I have a new job. Things are hazy. Okay.
Oh, humble brag.
Humble brag. You know.
This is good. This is so good. What is your game, dude?
The Streets of Rage, the classic beat 'em up game. Is on Nintendo Switch. They made it. They're making a new one.
That's not minor. That's awesome. That game's cool.
Yeah.
That game's dope. I didn't know that. Are you gonna get it?
Probably.
Oh yes, please.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of games that we need to get,
and we can all play.
Like Nidhogg. You always wanted to play
that game. That was the one I was telling you guys about, and then I had Hiram watch the gameplay.
He was like,
"We should play that game. That would be a lot of fun."
Like, I'm not even joking. We need to play that
game. We should. I just wish it wasn't that expensive.
Speaking of games, $15? I think what is it? The week after next is Spider-Man.
I know, holy
and that'll
shit.
Be our pick.
Yeah, that's going to be the one. That's our theme that week, Spider-Man, and just the game.
Not the movies.
We should tweet out, our theme this week is the Spider-Man game. That's our theme.
Our theme.
And the theme afterwards is the Spider-Man movies. Only one from each series. We'll go.
That's kind of interesting.
That's weird, because there's only one from, like...
Oh, man.
Like, I'd pick Amazing Spider-Man 2, of course.
And I would pick... Spider-Man 2.
Fuck you!
Nice.
I was going to pick Spider-Man 2. Now
I
have
to
pick
Spider-Man 2. But I know that if I didn't pick Amazing Spider-Man 2, no one would pick it. So
no, of course no one would pick it. You're the only one I know in the world that loves this movie.
Oh, fuck you, dude. Logan and me, I remember when it came out and Logan called me and we talked about how good it was.
It has some really good...
When we saw it, Neil said this to me. He goes, that's the best superhero movie I've ever seen.
Look,
he said that to me. That movie, when you're watching it, you like it, and then you hear other people say it sucks, and you're like, "You're right, it does suck."
No. Like, I don't think it's. I don't think it sucks. I just think that
I'm a defender.
It's a fun time, and it's cheesy as fuck.
I just think that, like, as far as Spider-Man, like when he does superheroics, is the best Spider-Man ever.
Spider-Man 2?
No, Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Oh,
when he does
when he does swinging
and stuff, I'm like, that's the best Spider-Man.
Hey, if they can translate that into that video game.
If they translated that into every Spider-Man game in the MCU, I mean, any Spider-Man movie in the MCU, then it'd be the best Spider-Man ever. Really.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Oh, the new Spider-Man comic, I finally got my hands on it.
It's
pretty good.
It's
really good. You guys should read it if you get the chance. Some of the dialogue is kind of Disney Channel sitcom-y jokes where they're like, blinks, you know what I mean? But then some of it's really
funny. Dad, you don't understand.
It's like, you two are being crazy over there. And he's like, you know what I mean? But then the stuff is really good because they bring all these like old superhero villains back that people have forgotten about. Like the guy from the Spider-Man 1 who he kills. He's like, back to formula, that guy.
Oh, no.
He comes in. Oh, he's been in the comics. But Spider-Man always forgets who he is. And he always has a new costume. So he comes back with an even... more badass costume. He's like, I'm going to get Spider-Man, and he's not good at it. It's great.
I'm going to get Spider-Man.
Well, get, yeah.
So, yeah, that's going to pick coming on.
What?
You have Spider-Man coming.
Spider-Man. Oh, maybe. I got to read it.
Which surprises me how you haven't picked that before, because Spider-Man's like your all-time favorite.
Oh, he's my favorite, but and this is a testament to this new book, because the art, it's mostly the art. The writing I have to get a little used to, but the art is amazing, because it's the guy who did Invincible. But it's really – because I haven't read Spider-Man in years, and there's been no reason for me to read it because the last – I liked – there was another writer –
there was like an area where like he sucked as far as
writing
goes.
Well, it's fine. Like the whole Superior Spider-Man arc, which is, I know has ended for a while, but there was a whole thing. There was the last thing I read where Spider-Man and Dr. Octopus switched bodies. And so Doc Ock was like going on dates with Mary Jane, and he was like, yes. And Peter was watching as Doc Ock, and he's like, I'm ugly.
I'm ugly.
He was watching from the window, like Doc Ock and MJ on a date, and he's like, no, fuck, he's ruining it. It'd be funnier if like Doc Ock was better. I think
Better lover than Peter Parker.
I think eventually what it was Doc Ock was like being better at being Spider-Man than Spider-Man was, because he was like, using his intellect more, and he was like building spider robots that could just protect the city for him. And Peter's like, he's so good at it. Like that was the.
But
that
then
was
he run into an Ultron situation.
So. Exactly, and all the spider bots uprise, and he's like, no.
And one of them is James Spader.
James Spider.
James Spider. That's so good.
That's amazing.
Yeah, well, that looks good,
fellas. I've got a couple of things of news in the realm of movies.
I love. You know,
I also, you know, if I know anything about good old Jake Smith, I'll give you some realm news. All right. First piece of realm news in the realm of James Gunn.
Okay. Oh,
this is our last
thing.
No, no, this one's quick. It doesn't actually involve him.
Okay. Just that it was
Guardians 3 has been put on hold, and reportedly Marvel has been having meetings with Taika Waititi, but not confirmed on what, but people are assuming it's about taking over, yeah.
Or Thor
Which
4.
I'd be okay with. Or, yeah, or Thor 4, but...
If they replace the slot of Guardians 3 with Thor 4, I'd be totally down.
That'd yeah, but awesome. I feel like if Thor were to die in the next movie, in the next Avengers, I'd be like...
I'm calling it.
Well, I don't think he is either, but yeah. If he does... I'd be
oh, I'm
okay
down
with
Taika
it.
Taking
yeah.
over Guardians. That would be cool.
Well,
yeah,
like,
I think
with Taika,
I would,
with Taika direct. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, James.
No, I was just saying, out of the directors they already have working with them, he'd be the only. He'd be the closest one I'd say to
yeah,
being,
yeah.
me being okay with it.
Because like, they're going to keep James Gunn's script.
They
yeah.
said that.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
confirmed.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
well,
like,
then,
they're
going to okay.
they're going to keep a script cool. with his with James Gunn's script and Taika Waititi's like.
But they cut out the pita
comedy,
parts though, right?
Yeah, they're going to. James Gunn wrote
it. They whited all those
James
out,
Gunn wrote,
and they have a
leaked
photo
party.
Of what the script looks like, and most of it's whited out. And they're like, God.
He wrote a pedo party.
He wrote a pedo party scene with Chris Pratt.
With Chris Pratt.
And Rocket Raccoon is a priest.
Rocket Raccoon is a little girl.
Oh no! Oh no!
Dude, that'd be horrible.
That's horrible.
That was pretty good. But yeah, I'd be cool with that.
Sorry.
I've got some recommendations for our audience in case they want to check out some new books because I got a bunch of new comics sent to me, a bunch of new number ones. The New World just came out by our boy Trad Moore. He's the artist, and he fucking killed it on this book. It's like 50 pages. It's twice as long as a normal comic.
It's more than 49.
He has like every inch of every panel is meticulously detailed, and it's crazy. Alice Cott wrote it, and I like some of Alice Cott's books, but Trad Moore is the he's the king of this book.
Are you more of a fan of like meticulous detail artists?
Well, it's like you can look at it and go, man, this guy really like bleeds for his art. Like he's he's putting his whole soul in.
Like
this.
You can feel the carpal tunnel when you look at that art,
dude. For real, you're like Jesus Christ, his hand's gonna fall off. And the only thing is, I wish you guys had read it just because. I want someone to agree with me, but Alice Cott is like, he's a good writer sometimes, but do you ever get this where you're reading something and you can tell that the writer is like trying to show off how good of a writer he is? You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Where you're like, dude, just chill out. Like the art is really the main thing
yeah.
in this particular book. And if you would just
reel yeah, like,
it
just
back
write
a
the
little
scene.
Bit. Yeah, just write the scene. He's adding all these huge balloons of like quippy, what he thinks are quippy back and forths. And it's
yeah.
like, and it's like, dude, just calm down. I don't know what they're talking about right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the book's really good. The art's amazing. And the core story is good and some stuff. But sometimes the guy writes too much. And you're like, all right, dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You ever watch a movie and they're just, you can tell. Like Aaron Sorkin is good at it. Have you ever watched a movie where a guy tries to be like Aaron Sorkin?
Or like, or he tries to be like Tarantino.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like quippy
yeah.
back and forth. And it's like, but they're not. Talking about anything, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Like Tarantino nails that like dialogue where it's like they're talking about nothing, but it's entertaining. You know,
it's entertaining,
yeah.
and sometimes it has something to do with the or like it introduces like or it's part of like their character
yeah.
how they talk about things.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Oh, and well, I read Leviathan, the book that Nick Pitara did, the one that we had.
Oh,
that one that looks really
out.
Fucking good.
Yeah, it came
that
out.
Came
dude.
Out.
It's like the same way he did, like he said on the podcast where he was like, I want this to be like fun and I want people to like look at this. And like he was like talking about how most comics nowadays, like a lot of Marvel books, especially like the Wolverine book and the Squirrel Girl book are drawn kind of half-assed where you're like, they just kind of like noodled that in really quick. And like Nick was talking about how much he was like, no, I want you to look at every inch of the panel and know that this guy was like giving it his all and like trying to make it badass.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he showed me some preview art for like the next couple issues. And this book is like, this book's a good time. Like, I would recommend people to go check it out. Leviathan. It's Leviathan. Really fun. If you like Godzilla kaiju shit, and if you like giant giant mechs fighting dinosaurs and stuff, it's pretty good.
Well, then check it out if you're into comic books.
Yeah, those just came out.
My last piece of news is a little bit more Star Wars news.
Oh, good.
And that's that Doctor Whom's Matt Smith and Lord of the Rings' Dominic Monaghan have been cast in Episode 9 in unannounced roles. So we don't really have much to go off of. I'm just going to say they should replace the whole cast with the Lord of the Rings cast and then just make a Lord of the Rings movie.
In space.
Lord of the Rings in space and Aragorn has a lightsaber.
I'm in.
Count me the fuck in.
And the trees
star
are there.
Rings,
Howard Shore
doing Lord of the Star Rings. That'd be dope.
Yeah, Howard Shore and John Williams team up.
Howard Williams.
Howard
they
Williams.
They fuse like Dragon Ball Z into one composer.
They go, fusion! But they have four arms with all those conductor sticks.
Yeah, so many batons.
And they're like, whoa! And twice as many people can play. And the music literally blows our minds.
Literally.
We can't even handle it.
And Treebeard is there.
And he's slower than ever.
He's slower. He's in space.
He's in space.
His ship.
Can't even hear him.
His ship has no thrusters.
Yeah, he's like, we're just letting the wind take us. And they're like, there's no wind.
And he stopped at all times.
There's no wind.
He's like,
there's no air up here.
Yeah.
And then eventually he's sitting, that's the opening scene, is him sitting there, and then later in the movie there's a huge explosion across the galaxy, and then a piece of debris comes and just bumps his ship, and he goes, whoa.
No, this is too fast. And he presses the brakes. He goes, this is moving along too fast. This movie's the perfect pace. We should add more scenes with the ants in it.
Anyway, fellas, you guys want to get into those picks?
I would love to get into those picks.
What do you want to start off with?
I'll start with the shit first, please.
Okay.
Let's get Noah out of the way. Ramon told us Noah was good, and he got me excited. Ramon, you're an idiot. Ramon, this movie is dog shit, dude. I was like,
all right.
You know what I mean?
He's got to play it first.
All right.
There are things in this movie that aren't terrible. The music is all right.
The music's okay. Things are cool. That's the thing. Is like when it opens and it's like the Watchers and these rock thing, these bionicle looking motherfuckers come out. I was like, look at that. That looks cool. I hope. I was telling Hiram. I was like, okay, this movie either better be close to Noah. No, I expected it to be completely like nothing like the Bible.
Same,
and like do its own thing and be like a Lord of the Rings like based like fantasy world with Noah
Which
in it.
Would have been cooler.
And then it was like it almost stuck too close to the real story.
Yeah.
But then tried these so it felt weird.
Yeah.
And let me tell you this, this might explain it. This is based off a comic book that he also wrote.
Darren Aronofsky?
Yeah. So if you think about it like that, and he word for word did it exactly. Like, he didn't adapt it and make it, like, movie-like. It's, like, literally the comic book. And I was re-watching it thinking like that, and I was like, if I was reading this, I wouldn't even think that much about it. But seeing it, you're like,
yeah, it's so weird. The visual style is, like, weird. Like, at times, I'm like, that looks cool, but then other times, I'm like, no.
Well, he was trying to do exactly the art style in the comic. So, like, the sky, you know, as the stars.
I like that.
Which I liked, so that's literally in the background of every shot of the comic book, like that style.
Yeah.
But then he's doing that, which is cool, but he's doing that through the whole movie. So he's like, oh, it worked in the comic. Literally, I'm going to do it exactly the same in the movie. And then you realize how dumb a lot of stuff.
Yeah, the rock people, I wasn't a fan of. I thought they were stupid.
They were cool, there was no point.
Yeah, there was no point. Like they felt out of place.
Yeah,
because of the fact that they played it too close to the original Bible story, it's like, you know,
yeah,
it's like no point. Like it kind of took
me
out of
it. There's no point in this movie.
And like there were a lot of shots where like you can tell they were not rendered.
Yeah, they weren't all the way done.
Really and they bad. Moved like they were like stop motion, but they weren't stop motion.
Yeah, which was, and which I was for like, me was a cool effect. I kind
of, I don't know, man. I was that would have been cool. I was for, like, thrown off. 1950s. I was no, really thrown off.
If they were
doing
that intentionally, that's kind of,
oh, if they did that intentionally, yeah, but it didn't look like they were doing it.
My biggest thing was they didn't build the world enough. They were kind of banking on you knowing the Bible story, which is fine, but like they should, if they were doing it again, if they're doing it like it's its own fantasy world, they should have built the world like any other fantasy movie yeah. needs to. Like yeah. they assume you know the world, all the people are bad, but you don't really see people being bad until like the middle of the movie.
Yeah, like right before the flood.
Until
yeah.
you see two guys fucking.
I have a thing.
Yeah, he looks over and he was like, all the sin. And I was like, he looks over, he sees two guys fucking. And he's like, no. He's like, God better destroy the earth quick. Who knows who I'll fuck? No, Shem. His
no,
son,
Shem. The third stooge. Dude, we had a joke that his son Shem is
because he said Shem and Logan goes Shemp.
Shem, like three stooge.
I
and Emma Watson dude, had nothing to do in this movie.
Here's the thing.
Why
Ramon,
was she in that?
I've got a bone to pick with Ramon because he
come
called
back.
Out yeah he called out Lord of the Rings for having like multiple whatever endings. This one feels like it's ending like four different times,
it does,
and
dude.
It's not
yeah.
like Lord of the Rings where they all are actually at the end of the movie. This one, like when they all charge the ship, and they're like,
that
I'm
was
like,
the end,
I'm like,
and then we
oh.
checked the runtime,
and we're,
it was like
you're,
an hour.
You're not even halfway.
And I was like, this feels like the final battle. That's
yeah.
how it was in that Planet of the Apes movies.
Yeah.
It's and almost then, like they don't know a bad movie is where they don't know that it's over now. They're like, guys, it's over now.
Yeah. And then when they're on the boat, something happened, like when the boat like crashed, whatever, when they like find land or whatever, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, now this is the end,
yeah.
And then it wasn't the end.
No, but we had to get drunk Noah naked, you know.
Yeah,
yeah,
passed out.
That's accurate.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Historically,
it was really dumb. We like when we saw it, it was an hour and a half in until like Noah got on the boat and like the boat actually floated, you know.
That was an hour and a half.
That was an hour and a
yeah.
half.
I was
yeah.
like, we should have replaced this and just watched Evan Almighty. Like, come on.
It
you would know? Have
been a
Evan
better
Almighty
time.
Almighty is a better movie.
Dude, Evan Almighty is almost the same movie as this without Rock Monsters.
I mean, it's pretty similar. I will say, and you guys might disagree with me on this, I didn't think the acting in this movie was bad. I thought it was pretty good across, like, especially in certain scenes, like in the scene where what's that dang actress's
Anthony
name? His wife.
Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah, and him, and
she's
like trying to convince, but she's trying to convince him like not to kill the babies, and she's like crying, and I'm like, she's doing a good job.
Well, here's the thing.
I feel
like
they're doing a good as job as like what they're known for.
But
not
here's the
so
thing.
Much like it's a standout performance.
No, it's none
That's
of it's
the
like
thing. We know these are good actors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're being given stupid things.
Yeah.
And
oh,
so they
dude.
Seem bad.
Anthony
like,
Hopkins
big.
Was my favorite part of this movie. He keeps trying to go, where are the berries?
He loves
berries.
Berries. We laughed our asses off when he finally finds a berry, and then he's like, the flood can take me now.
I thought because like isn't he like Methuselah? I thought he was dead.
Oh.
Because, like, that was Noah's grandfather. I was like, oh.
No, they age really slowly, remember?
Oh, right, right.
Because in the Bible, some people live to be, like, 900 years old.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, yeah, exactly. Methuselah lived 969 years, and I thought that was the point after he
what
died.
A perfect prime number.
That's
like,
why
no,
he
I
was like,
die.
Now I'll die. 969.
I made it. Not at 769. He was like, it's got
to
be
900. Not 669.
It's got to be 900.
It's got to be 900.
But, yeah, so, like, some of the world built, like, and the thing is the world felt like, you know, those CGI TV shows like Jimmy Neutron or whatever, where the city has no people in it, so it doesn't feel real.
Yeah.
You know, like this world felt like there were no people in it.
Yeah.
So
like,
it didn't feel real.
Because there's a place where there's people, and then there's Noah and his family, and like it just kind of feels like.
And then
kind of
all the trees sprout up. That was dumb looking.
That was dumb.
And the rock guys are immediately like, "We'll help you. There's trees."
Because I'm like, "There's trees." And I'm like, "Why couldn't they? Why couldn't God make an ark?"
Yeah,
they
why couldn't he skipped out the middle man made an ark?
They should have had the rock man go, "I'll only help you if you can find trees."
Oh, he's like, "God, you've done it again."
Yeah.
I want to talk about the logistics of the plot holes of the story because that's kind of critiquing the Bible. So we're not going to get into that.
Well, some of it is like. Because
if you say like, oh, that's ridiculous, well, you know,
it's in the Bible. But like,
you know, I don't want to dismiss anybody's faiths.
Yeah, yeah.
At least not this episode.
There's a specific person you're dismissing. Mom.
Mom, if you're listening,
I'm getting
I hope
you.
To God you're not.
And then she calls you later and she's like, I heard your podcast.
It's like, you've been cussing. And I'm like, Mom, please.
Please, I'm recording.
I'm recording. Yeah, she's
recording.
I'm
recording. Oh, man. But yeah, you got anything about Noah? No. Noah was bad, dude. I'm sorry. It was not even
I thought it had some redeeming qualities. The music, what I was saying about the music is it's. I'm only willing to say the music's okay to good. Because I think it has some cool. It does some cool things, but there was one part of the movie, and it was an extended amount of time. It was like. It felt like 10 minutes where it was just playing the same three notes, and it repeated it for the entirety of the thing. And I remember because I was like, wait, this is like, I noticed the music and I was like, how long has it been doing the same thing? And then every time it did the same thing, I was like, oh, well, it couldn't possibly do those again. And it did them again and again. And I'm like, did the composer run out of time?
No, Darren Aronofsky was in the booth and he goes, again. And the guy goes, again. Please don't. He goes, it's my vision. Again.
You know what? In this movie, time.
I want them to boo. This felt like a movie where Darren Aronofsky was like, I'm going to make a shitty movie. It felt like that. Because it never seems like he's trying to make a shitty movie because they're well made. This movie was bad. Like the fight scene at the beginning with Noah and those random dudes was like not good.
Yeah,
like,
that was
not what's happening.
No.
He's not in action.
You know what? The fact that you said there's redeeming qualities to this movie, I'd say that point would be valid if this movie were like an hour and a half.
Yeah, the 2 hours. Yeah,
it is way too long.
The fact that it's 2 hours made me think, like, wow.
The thing that made us hate it was me and you and Zoe and Logan are sitting there and we are like, we have to watch Noah, and we put it on and we see the runtime is 2 hours or whatever, and Zoe falls asleep, and then we both are like, we have to watch this, and I'm like, right away I'm like, I hate this, but I was like trying to get in because when it said the Watchers,
yeah, when we said the Watchers, yeah, you were like, we were excited when we saw the Watchers because like, whoa. Bionicle looking stone
face. I know, I was like, in the third day God made bionicles.
But some of that stuff, like, I thought some of the imagery was kind of cool, like when the flood first starts and the camera zooms all the way out and the entire earth is just big, like,
oh, that was cool.
Hurricane clouds. Cool. I was like,
that's cool.
Or like the showing of the creation of the earth, like, looked cool the way that was done in like time lapse form.
No, I need to read it just so I'll know the similarities.
You need to read,
but
the,
I want
to
read
the story,
the comic book.
Oh,
yeah, the Bible.
See, because I'm like, because I'm pretty sure like that. Like when people watch The Walking Dead and they go, that scene was cool, and I'm like, they literally, it's straight from the comic. It's not new. Like they did it 10 years ago. I want to see if like the hurricane thing on the, because that was cool.
That was,
I
want to
see if that's just a panel in the comic.
It felt like it would be the Bible with the
rainbow in the end.
At the end, the rainbow. I was like, all right, Darren.
I liked where Russell Crowe was. See, a lot of the themes of it were cool, like the idea of him when he had those dreams and it's all the dead people underwater and then all those animals. Like, that's a cool way of him. Like, they literally didn't have God talking to him saying, build an ark, but he just inferred it. And he was like, he's sending me visions. That's cool. But I didn't care about them.
Yeah, this movie feels like if he really wanted to make it, he should have let it kind of cook in his brain for like another year.
Yeah.
And not just like, it felt like he was finished the first draft and was like, all right, let's do this.
Yeah, but also, it felt like a story, not a character piece.
Which
it was half-assing trying to be kind of a character piece. Because like I said, like you can read a comic as just a story and you're like, that was good.
Yeah.
But then in a movie, there's a deeper level that you need. Like, because they're
you need that emotional connection. You don't really know why
and
they're doing, or you know why they're doing what they're doing, or why they feel like they need to obey God.
Yeah,
they just kind of did it.
If they had showed a scene at the beginning where it shows the wickedness of everybody doing something to his family, and he
killed his dad.
But that was like so dumb. It looked like a
with
History Channel
snake
show.
Skin arm.
Yeah, what? That was stupid. It was like Darren Aronofsky was just like, that'll be badass. And he was just like, we'll put that in, but then the rest of the story is the same.
Snake skin, that was weird. I remember
the enchanted
that. That
snake
me,
skin.
That really threw me off.
They had like magic relics.
Yeah, it was weird. I was like, what are you trying to do?
But I thought it was kind of cool. The magic relics, I was like, all right,
no,
I guess.
They committed to it.
But they never explain. But it goes back to what you're saying with world building. They never explain it. They never, like,
make it feel like it's a real thing.
Yeah, and they never, like, because I remember thinking at the end when he's like, blesses her with the snake skin. the two babies, and I was like, if the snakeskin is the shedded snakeskin from the like the devil as the snake, so how is that like a positive thing? How is that not like an instrument of evil? And I was like, well, I guess, you know, the movie says it's good, so it's good.
Well, the thing is if they committed to it, like I said, like, it doesn't feel like anything really. It's like he took the story of Noah and he goes, and I'll throw in a rock monster and some ancient relics.
And now it's good.
Really, and now it's like my own thing, and it's really not your own thing. It's just you taking it and throwing in rock monsters.
Yeah.
I could do that shit. Like, 300 is a different thing where the whole 300 is a good movie, and it's almost the same kind of thing where it's taking that event and kind of like exaggerating it. But that's kind of the cool. Like, when I watched we should do 300 sometime. But when I do 300.
I thought we did, didn't we?
I don't know. That. When I watch 300, I think of it because the whole thing is told through Faramir's perspective. So when he's like, and then they fought the demons, it's really just his story, and he's exaggerating it to hype up the guys.
His army.
Like, we fought demons and orcs and stuff. Like, this movie is like him taking that story and going, I'm going to make it like a fantasy cool thing, but he kind of... It is lazy. That's all.
Yeah,
it's
very lazy. It's not thought out.
It is. It really is. And I don't know, man. 300's way better. I don't know if we've ever talked about this on the podcast about how Zack Snyder and J.J. Abrams have very similar like careers, where ever since they've gotten to direct movies, it's always been like a huge stakes movie. Like, J.J. Abrams' first movie, I think, was Mission Impossible 3.
Like, they never get like
and
an
then
easy movie.
They never got to make like. Oh, here's just some like indie. Well, they end, but then they each have one original movie that they wrote them. I mean, J.J. Abrams writes all of his movies, but they each have one movie that was like theirs completely and originally. And J.J. Abrams, Super 8, and is a Sucker Punch. And I'm like, man.
We should do a Zack Snyder and watch the good versions of his movies that people say are good.
Yeah, bad. Yeah.
Because I watched the extended Sucker Punch, and that movie's good. I was like, what? Because I watched Sucker Punch, and because I was so excited. Because, you know, I was like 14, and I was like, these hot chicks.
There's big robots and explosions.
And then I watched it, and I was like, oh.
But Oscar Isaac's in it.
I know. And then I rewatched the full version, and I was like, huh. I want you guys to see it just so we can see if it is
good, you know? I think there's rumors that.
Badass. Watchmen extended. We watched
that. That'd be a cool week. Themed week.
More themes, but not this one, Hiram. Not this one.
No, not this time.
Wow. she's in that movie.
What? She's she totally is.
She's bad at
it. I think. Oh yeah, there's a rumor going around.
Wow. She should have been good at math.
I think I read there was a rumor going around that that Oscar Isaac might be being considered to be cast as Batman if Ben Affleck leaves.
Not bad. Not bad.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I like Oscar Isaac.
He'd be really good at being Bruce Wayne.
I hope. You never know.
I think so.
I want Val Kilmer to come back as he is.
Speaking. No, but that's all right. So I'd say next, let's talk about Bruce Almighty, and we'll end on Prince of Egypt.
Oh, I thought we were gonna end on the best one, Bruce Almighty. This is so good. And then when he like blows that girl's skirt up, I'm like, that's what Jesus would do.
Exactly. You know what, man? I'm glad it feels so refreshing to have a God movie that's good.
Yeah.
You know?
Wait, Prince, the next one's good.
Well, you know.
Oh, after Noah.
After Noah.
That's when we were watching Prince of Egypt. I was like, thank like God. Because it's Bruce Almighty is not like a direct story from the Bible. So like watching Prince of Egypt, I was like, oh, thank God. A good. Yeah, thank you, God, for making the people who made this movie.
Yeah, honestly.
God saw Noah. No, this was like. No, but time doesn't matter to God. He saw that Noah was going to be made in the future, and he was like, I'm going to make
Prince of Egypt. And then I'm going to make Jim Carrey to make Bruce Almighty.
What if it's
like rock monsters? I didn't do that.
Watchers, and he read through the Bible, he skimmed it. He's like, that's not in here.
So
his memory's not great.
So apparently in real life canon, Morgan Freeman is a god. I always knew it. In the lore of real life.
Here's the thing, though. Watching Noah, watching Bruce Almighty, watching Prince of Egypt, I like the manga better. You say you only watch the anime? I've read the manga, dude. I've read the Bible manga.
I've read the Bible manga.
I've read all the chapters. Shonen Jump.
I've seen the chapter in which Jesus got crucified. He's like, "Zira, skulinskini on Zira." And he's like, "Forgive them, Father, for they not know, for they know not what they do."
And then it catches the pilot when the lightning strikes, and he goes, "Gah!" He is God.
I give up. He's like, "I give up the ghost."
And then when he does the lightning, they're like, "Is that a level 3 super?" That's God's level 3 super.
Jesus
goes, "This isn't even my final form."
Yo, okay. So please preface Bruce Almighty for us.
Oh, people know this. So it's about Bruce, and he's down on his luck, and he hates God. He thinks God's picking on him. And so God's like, "Hey, you want to spend a week in my shoes? Here's all the powers of God." And now he's got God's powers. He parts soup.
He does part soup.
And then the prayer scene where he's like file cabinets, and I loved that scene. And then he's like the internet, and he's like, "I could go for some Colombian coffee," and some Colombian guy shows up, and he's like, "Coffee?
Coffee?"
And he's like, "Thank you."
Oh man, his life started turning out a lot better until it got annoying. Honestly, like, his sex life was explosive.
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know that whole scene where she's
coming right even before they've even like started.
Yeah,
and I hope Morgan Freeman's somewhere like, "They're not in wedlock."
I'll revoke his powers.
Everything I've ever done has been out of wedlock. Have you thought about that? I make breakfast out of wedlock every day.
I'm drinking this water out of wedlock. I know.
I should say that about everything I do.
As we speak, we're doing this podcast out of wedlock.
Guys, I have a confession to make out of wedlock.
Yeah.
And that confession is that Jake was right about my snack, and I'm very thirsty right now, so I'm going to go grab my water real quick.
Well, me and Hiram will keep talking about it.
We'll keep talking about Bruce Almighty. God. Like,
try not to cause a hurricane getting up.
I'm trying really hard.
Wasn't that the no? This is also the scene. Like, remember the scene? I laugh at the scene a lot. Where Steve Carell, like, he was controlling what
Steve
Carell was saying.
Scene.
I like a do the cha cha.
I like a do the cha cha.
The cha cha.
And he goes.
That was before he was famous.
That was like an.
Yeah, that was before The Office.
Yeah, that was early.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. He was. I liked when Bruce played the trumpet to flip him off, and he was like, "I can hold that note all day, buddy." Well, that's the way. I like it. He was just doing the Grinch. That's the way the cookie crumbles.
That's the way the cookie crumbles.
Dude, when he's yelling at the lady on the boat, and he's like, "See you later, fuckers."
Yeah. That's Bruce Nolan. "See you later, fuckers."
Dude, that was like, as a kid, I was like, "Shit, this movie's
like,
savage."
He actually said the F-bomb. I was like, yeah, my mom. You know, she was like, "Cover your ears."
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's like, "I'm standing on the boat with Audrey Hepburn's mom." "Is it true you really threw the blue jewel over the railing of the Titanic?" That was funny. She's making fun of how old that lady is. The movie's good.
I think that was around the time where, like, Jim Carrey was like back to back blockbuster after blockbuster. Even if like it didn't do that well, it's still entertaining because Jim Carrey kind of brings his all in each, you know, Liar,
oh, yeah,
Liar.
He was good.
Like The Grinch.
Yes, man.
I've never seen a movie with Jim Carrey in it that I didn't think he was good in. Even Kick-Ass 2, I haven't seen it.
But
Kick-Ass 2, which is one of the most terrible superhero movies, he's still really good in it. And when his character's on screen, I'm still like, nice.
And then they kill him halfway through the movie, like, really.
And I'm like, this movie no longer has anything going for it.
Yeah, because they did the Nicolas Cage thing and Kick-Ass was a good franchise, and they ruined it.
The one movie franchise.
It could have been like, they could have done Kingsman, and Kingsman kind of did it too.
Well, but
even
not to
I
the
like
extent. I like Kingsman 2. I think Kingsman 2 isn't as good as Kingsman 1, but I don't think it's like, everyone's like, that movie's trash.
Kick-Ass 2 is trash.
Yeah, Kick-Ass 2 is garbage. Kingsman 2 is just not as good as
the
first one.
Remember that joke in Kick-Ass 2 where he's like, "Oh, look at these guns. Hey, I'm at these guns." And he literally has guns.
Oh.
And you're like, oh.
Or
and
the sick stick.
No, that device where she where she makes her poop and vomit at the same time, and it's CGI, and it looks really bad.
Yeah, and you're like, oh.
And then her whole message is she gives the ugly girl, like, a bunch of money, and she's like, "Be pretty now." Like, she's a good person.
Like, she's a good person.
You remember that? Have you seen Kick-Ass 2?
I have not seen
it. There's an ugly girl in the the cheerleaders are picking on her, and she's like, just be yourself. And then she's like, here's a bunch of money. Go be pretty. And I'm like, that's not a good message.
That's not a good message, and fuck that person.
I wish someone would give me a lot of money to be pretty.
I wish I was just
pretty. I wouldn't do it. I would buy comic books.
I would just buy a bunch of snacks with it.
Dude, more pretzels.
Yeah. More peanut butter filled pretzels.
Well, I like this movie because it actually like gets you at the end.
It does.
Bruce has like an arc and you're like, what? He's a good guy.
And he almost gets hit by that. Or, well, wait a second. I'm mixing up the end again.
Wait, what?
You're mixing up with the ending of fucking God's Not Dead.
I haven't seen God's Not Dead.
The professor gets hit by a truck.
But there's a part of this where he's trying to get hit by a truck, right? But is that that's at the beginning?
Oh, or no. Isn't he
gets hit by a truck and then like he talks.
Yeah, when it's raining. When it's raining and he gets hit by a truck. And
yeah, that's in that. Yeah, that's in the movie. That's at the beginning. That's towards
that's the beginning. Yeah, okay, yeah.
We just watched this.
Of course. Always.
That's in the beginning of the film.
Wait, what about the infamous scene where the guy goes, I will do that. As soon as a monkey comes out of my butt. And he goes, well, that's today.
That's today.
And then he goes,
oh. My mom laughed at that so hard when we saw that, like, for the first time.
And then he goes, go home, little monkey. And he jumps back in his butt. People forget about that part. That's the best part.
That is the best part. I love it when he's like, he splits apart traffic to drive through it. He splits apart soup.
Yeah, he loves splitting things.
He loves splitting things. And he split his girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
And then he had Barry White playing in the background while he pulled the moon.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's cool. I want to do that.
I'll use those skills. If I was God, I would do everything he would do.
Yeah.
I would get better at my weatherman job. You know?
That's what he needed it for. He's always right.
Weatherman job.
Dude, being the weatherman, if you're a weatherman, I'm going to apologize for what I'm about to say. It's got to be the easiest job ever.
Dude,
what other job can you be wrong every time and be like, sorry, it's unpredictable, it's the weather.
Weathermen out there are a huge fan base of weathermen. You have to know that it's an easy job and enjoy the fact that you have that easy job.
Yeah, and your only job is don't wear a green tie that matches the green screen.
And they still mess that shit up. You go on those weatherman compilations and like they're off the camera. Oops. And they trip in the frame.
I got one where someone's like being the weatherman and somebody brought their dog to the studio and it like comes in and starts knocking stuff over. Have you seen that one?
That's good though.
I mean, I know how hard it is, man. I did the weather for the morning announcements in high school. Shit ain't easy.
Why don't you ride that gravy train and get like a weatherman job?
You could have had God's powers.
I wanted to get a real job.
Like at Target.
Hey, no offense to people working at Target.
Oh, Target's fine.
Target's fine. Yeah,
it's hard work. It's harder than being a weatherman.
It's harder than my job.
It sure is.
It sure is.
I would know first.
Yeah, Bruce Almighty's good. You guys, as it stacks as Jim Carrey comedies, what is it for you?
I'd put it pretty high. It's one of those movies where, like, when it came out, it felt like, oh, this is going to be, like, a classic comedy.
And it is.
And it is. And so that's pretty high praise, I think.
I think when it came out, I was like, this will probably get shuffled under the rug as a random Jim Carrey movie. But then I know has, like, I've seen that. I love that
movie. It's, like, really ingrained in popular culture because I think it's, like, really refreshing, especially for the early 2000s as comedy goes.
Yeah.
Because early 2000s has a lot of derivative comedy movies. We're not that good.
Yeah, like Snow Dogs.
And I just liked it when I was growing up because it treated religious people sincerely and respectfully while also making fun of it at the same time.
Yeah, it was very universal.
It's hard.
And it was real. That Bruce acted like an asshole.
Yeah.
He said things that, like, in a fucking God's Not Dead movie, you couldn't do. And those movies lose their authenticity because they're like, oh, we also have to be, like, clean and like nice.
They have to be good role models.
Yeah, when it's like, no, people are shitty. If you read any of these characters in the Bible, David or whoever, they were assholes. They were like the worst people of all time.
Including
like if David was a
Moses.
Real guy, dude, no, Moses was dope, dude.
But slightly foreshadowing our opinions on Prince of Egypt, but like that one. He's like a full character. He's not the whole movie. He's not going like, this is it. This is it. Like, he plays pranks on people and stuff. Like, he's not, like, just, John like... Moses, you mean. Yeah, he's not just, like, boring the whole time.
Yeah,
but I mean,
as far as Bruce Nolan goes, yeah, he does go through an arc. And hey, that's the way the cookie crumbles.
Even when you're making, and I just literally just said this last night when we were writing our Kung Fu movie, even when you're making a comedy or a really dumb comedy, you still have to tell a functional story at its core. Otherwise, it'll be forgotten.
Exactly.
Like the Jump Street movies have a really good story they actually tell.
And I always wanted to know, like, what the hell was God cleaning? Like, what building?
Sins,
what building was he cleaning?
He was cleaning the sins of people.
He was mopping. He was changing light bulbs. What the fuck building was that?
That was heaven. It sucks.
Heaven's just an empty garage.
It's overrated.
Garage looking building.
If that's your heaven,
is your heaven
heaven an empty garage?
My heaven. You know what my heaven is? My heaven is Miami, Florida. In a 5-star resort with a Latina woman next to me and Nathan Lane singing to me.
That's a great heaven.
Dude, Nathan Lane.
Dude, I'm going to
And he's there all
I'm
the time.
Photoshop that.
Nathan Lane.
That's going to be this week's Photoshop.
Please, somebody Photoshop Hiram with a Latina woman in Miami, Florida with Nathan Lane singing to him. And Morgan Freeman's there overwatching him.
Yeah, overwatching.
He's hovering.
He's happy.
If there's a window in the picture you use to Photoshop, have him faded in the sky in the background.
And he's laughing, and it says "I," and then it has hashtag Me Too next to it.
Oh no!
Oh god!
All right, I'll read you.
This is the maybe the best of the three movies. I'll be honest.
It probably is.
In terms
of craftsmanship.
Even though, you know, as far as we... In terms of craftsmanship...
Noah really gives it a run for its money, though.
What? I was not even kidding.
I'm gonna be honest with you guys.
Why do you laugh at things that aren't funny? The craftsmanship of the movie. It's like the art. The making the
movie. I just thought about, like, when we were in art school and we got graded for our craftsmanship, that's what I thought about.
Oh, yeah. It's just, like, the level of...
The level of detail.
Not detail, but like
execution
professionalism.
Too.
It's like executed like really, really like they took it really, really seriously.
I fucking love this movie. I always wanted to talk about how good it was. I thought about it for weeks because ever since I saw it like recently, because I watched it for years as a kid, like all of us, and I didn't really think about how good it was until I saw it recently as an adult. I'm like, I have to talk about this. I have to talk about this on the podcast.
Yeah.
And I have to say that this movie, honestly, this is going to be very controversial. This movie tells the story of Moses and, like, the Ten Commandments better than even the Bible does.
Well, here's the thing, dude. I don't feel like that's a bold statement because you can tell most of the stories the Bible does better. And that's not, I don't really think that's a
That's
knock.
Not like a shot
it's
at the
really
Bible.
Like, you
it's
can
not,
take a
but
lot
I mean,
of
like,
in a, like, a historical, dude, like it's like saying that Braveheart is a better telling than the real events of Braveheart.
Yeah. Which it
and
probably
it
is.
And because
it probably is,
you don't get emotionally invested into a recounting of a battle.
Yeah, there's always, almost across the board, there's always a better way to tell a story.
That is true.
Yeah.
But I think this movie also did better than the Charlton Heston movie as well.
Oh, for sure. That's the thing, is it's like, this could have easily been live action, and it would have been a fantastic movie as well.
It would have been. See, that's
it
the would thing.
Have lost that like
and
extra
it,
layer.
And it would have felt... Oh, sorry. You can repeat. What would have lost extra.
I was going to say nachos.
Oh.
I was going to say that extra layer of nachos. That's what I was going
to
say.
Well, I was going to say it would appear if they tried to make it exactly the same way as they did this. It would have appeared super dated now. Whatever effects they had. If it was live action, like the scene where he's like gets lifted up by the stuff from the burning bush, like all those beautiful shots, you'd be like, oh.
Well, I was saying like, higher of that. If they had done it in 3D animation, like Illumination style, it would have been so bad.
It would have been
the same
horrible.
Movie, but in like a weird, like blocky style,
like back then,
like it was
like ants.
It was like the way they look,
like ants.
No, yeah, for real, like the same
if it,
way.
If this because it's funny because like this is one of their first ones after ants.
Yeah.
That's why it's funny.
They were like, never mind. Ants,
there,
they came out with ants, and they're like,
some,
never mind, back to 2D.
There were some things where I'm like, oh, this looks a lot like ants.
Well, the thing this movie had over Noah, because I'm going to compare
the
two.
One
please
thing.
Don't compare it to... What?
No, because they're both recounting stories of the Bible. They're both trying to do it in their own creative ways. You know what I mean? The thing that this one had over it is it was way shorter than Noah. They told it more concisely. They didn't meander around. They got to the every. I like that kind of storytelling where it's like we go from point A to point B.
He doesn't get all the time.
Yeah, which is why I'm into comic books so much, because you don't have as much time to like dwell on things. You're like, no, the important shit. So like this movie, they go right from whatever. Noah, I felt like the guy was like, we gotta make it really good, so he's just gonna sit around and like stare at things.
And wait, like this movie is shorter and but somehow more feels more more impactful and more epic in tone. Because it's just because they just know what they're doing. Not that like Darren Aronofsky obviously is like a very respected director. Like, I'm not saying he doesn't know what he's doing, but specifically on Noah, he messed up.
Yeah, and specifically on that movie, he didn't do well, and he probably knows it.
Yeah.
For sure.
We have a visitor coming in. Coming into the studio. It's Jackson.
Jackson Wood.
Jackson, do you have anything to say to the audience? Please come say it into the microphone. Okay. We have a bat in our garage. Jackson's checking to see if it's there.
He's going to strangle it to death for us.
It seems like no.
Feast on it to gain its power.
Audience.
You feast on bats.
You feast on bats, you become Batman.
I want to say to all of our fans, it's very possible that within the next however many minutes Jackson decides to work out in our garage, you may hear lots of screaming. If in fact the bat is still.
Oh,
around.
I thought you meant from working out.
I thought you
meant
from
that
too.
I went too far.
Different kinds.
But
what were you going to say about? Oh yeah.
I was gonna say that it feels like more epic in tone and all that, but I think this. I can't think of an aspect of Noah that this movie didn't do better.
I know, that's the thing.
I feel like the same thing that can be said for many Bible, because I've seen a lot of Bible based movies like growing up, and this one is like still the best one as far as like a concise movie.
Yeah,
because even Jesus of Nazareth in the '70s or like Charlton.
What about Passion of the Christ?
Even Passion of the Christ. Because
for
like,
me, probably the thing that makes it good is they were just trying to tell a good story.
Yeah, they were just trying to tell
a lot of Christian movies. I feel like try to push the agenda more than they care about telling a good story.
They try to tell the message, and like they try to tell recounts of what happened. The Ten Commandments is like a recounting of what happened, but like. I love the Prince of Egypt so much because they show you why it happened.
Yeah, and like, and
that's
this,
so good.
A lot of the newer movies, a lot of Christian movies nowadays feel like they're like when you watch them, like I'm already a Christian person, and it feels like they're trying to convert you,
even though the demographic is already watching the movie.
And
exactly.
I feel like this movie does more. For me, in that sense, than like any of those movies, and it's just because it's like, hey, this is how awesome this story is.
Yeah,
because like when Moses met God, it was like that shit. Always
that was a
like,
beautiful story.
That was a beautiful. Yeah. It got me like, oh, it always gets me teary eyed because like that plus the score from Hans Zimmer.
One of his best.
And they
I
didn't stray
say.
Away from the shit that happens. Like they didn't. They didn't cut out where they kill all the firstborns. They
no.
didn't cut out where.
The plagues.
The plagues, the fire vortex, you know, they didn't...
Dude, his secret move.
His secret level 3 super.
Ramsey's one weakness, fire vortexes. He's like, we're going to be fine. We can track him down as long as there's no fire vortexes.
Shit!
No!
You know what's funny?
The only thing.
Like, in the Bible and in the Ten Commandments movie, they made Pharaoh seem like a dick, like an asshole. Like, he's just like, oh, I'm stubborn because I don't want to free the Jews. But, like, in this movie... It's because that his father was hard on Ramses.
Yeah.
That like Ramses has to prove to himself and to like to his dad is like, hey, I can do this. So I'm gonna be stubborn and keep these slaves only because I don't want to be the weak link because I've been mentally abused by my father. Fuck, this movie's so good.
It is good.
Like they made this like
those shots though.
Those
beautiful vista shots.
Oh,
those
man.
Shots.
I think my favorite moment in this whole movie is when he splits the sea, when it reveals what it looks like for the first time, because it's shown and it's like really small, and then it like shoots up to a huge thing, and then when it cuts and the music like perfectly
swells.
Matches up with it, and it literally swells.
The music swells as the water.
Yes, and it's
swells.
And it's perfectly. It's perfectly. Sorry, Jackson just made a noise. It's like perfectly executed visually, and it's drawn and like animated, whatever mix of 2D and 3D yeah. they used is like flawless in that one
oh,
shot.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That, see, like it seems like that. That makes me wish that DreamWorks were the ones to go back to traditional animating for their films.
Man. Just
because they're in a weird spot right now and Disney's kicking their ass.
Well, wait for How to Train Your Dragon 3. Another conclusion is coming out next year.
Oh, right.
But how cool would How to Train Your Dragon be if it was 2D anime?
I don't know. I think that one works in 3D.
I don't know. Because, like, it will be great because DreamWorks, I feel like, to me, I think DreamWorks could do traditional.
Well, I'm imagining it. I imagined it pretty cool.
I think it should be. I think they can pull it off.
I think it should be a case by case basis. I definitely think that something like Prince of Egypt works way better in 2D.
Well, here's the thing. I'm thinking that too, but like, a movie like Shrek should be 3D. But like, but I think How to Train Your Dragon, because it's like medieval fantasy, much in the way of Sword in the Stone and the Black Cauldron. Kind of is that you could do it 2D.
You could do it.
You would need an insane amount of like.
I almost think it would.
You
be
need
better.
An insane amount of like work. Like an insane amount of what's the term I'm looking for?
Animators.
No, an insane
would,
amount
though.
Of like
paper.
It's an insane amount of production value, even greater than that of Lion King.
Yeah, you would
pull that off as similar as the 3D.
And yeah, and man, I just wish there was still. Like major studio doing 2D. I'm a huge fan of 3D animation. I think that we've gotten to the point now. I think within the last probably 10 years or more, like none of those movies I think are gonna look dated. I think the line at which 3D animated movies are starting to look bad is probably 2004-ish, because. Like, the first Incredibles you watch and you're like, it looks kind of dated. But, yeah. Like, Ratatouille, which was just, like, a little bit afterwards, still looks great.
Oh, yeah. But, see, the thing that you get from 2D, though, is that the fact that they had movies, I mean, Snow White still holds up.
Yeah, if it looks good. With 2D, if it looks good at the time, it's going to look good forever.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's
Snow
also
White
a catch.
Fucking amazing still.
Yeah.
Even though it's a boring-ass movie.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't want to take away all the juicy detail I get in How to Train Your Dragon, especially in 2 when they have like all the like facial hair on everyone. I love like the animated like fibers and everything they put on everything.
I
was like,
yeah, you can't get that in traditional.
Yeah, but you can get some kind of like fluid motion that feels more mesmerizing to me.
Because it feels more organic in 3D. But
like when they move
really
in this
really
and like his robe, like
the clothing is amazing. I will
and
say,
that's like the one of, I would think would be one of the hardest things to animate.
It is. Drapery and clothing, like to animate a flag is a bitch.
Yeah. Fuck that.
Like a flag.
That's
in
why
the
I write all my animated movies that I make without flags. I cut those out.
I cut those out. That's not in the budget.
I'm not.
You know, I think I speak for all of us when I say the best animated flag of all times is, and you may already be thinking about it, the opening credits of American Dad. Best flag animation of our time.
I was thinking about Recess.
Recess has.
I almost mentioned Recess.
That has a good idea.
But I was like, I can't remember if I'm just making that up or not.
I also want to say like going back to Prince of Egypt, it's a great musical. I think I love the song. I didn't think I'd like the song as an adult. I thought the songs were kind of annoying as a kid, but like now I'm like, this is like the most amazing thing.
Ever I like him because they're not annoying. I don't like songs where it's like, oh, they're writing this to be a hit, catchy song, like Let It Go or Let It Be.
I think the closest Let It Go, and I think closest to that in this one is Playing With the Big Boys Now.
Yeah, that was them doing their funny song that they're trying to get.
Which and I was like, loved. I think
love those two characters.
Yeah.
Did you get one of them? Steve Martin. I think it's Steve Martin, and is it Martin Short? Is the other one?
A lot of big names. I wish Jeff Goldblum's character had done more. That's my biggest thing, is I liked how Aaron in the Bible spoke for Moses, like because Moses was like a meek, timid guy, so Aaron would speak for him. And that would have been great to have Jeff Goldblum be the one to be like, and then they said this.
Then they said, you gotta let him go. Pharaoh, what are you doing?
Take to the sky.
My
champion. This is my
God's my champion.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if I had a critique for this movie, I'd be like, listen, you don't need so many comedic relief moments. You're like,
and
like,
they're only like three, but just cut them out.
Yeah,
like,
but
you could tell they were copying off of Disney a little bit.
And you're like,
the funny animals.
Yeah, don't the do funny that. Animals. You don't need them because they're always like the people are like super like realistically animated and serious. And then these like freaking camels are like hopping around and like bouncing, and you're like, no, stop. But it's because a lot of times you'll need comedic relief if your movie is like so serious that it's like might get exhausting. But this one's.
It's struck fun.
Such a perfect tone.
It really
is. Of like, it feels spiritual and not in a preachy way.
It resonates
with it you. Feels good to watch.
It does.
And then, but then when they come in with those jokes, I'm like, you don't need that joke.
Yeah. I mean, there aren't
aren't a lot.
A ton, but, you know.
And as characters, like, they're really, like, they go through an arc. Like, it's like, because, you know, like, in movies, in certain stories where you have, like, a character kind of shift in, like, you know, their positions of what they believe. Like, they kind of feel like they're out of character. But
Moses was the most flawless.
Moses was flawless because even though he changed from, like, you know, a prince to, like, you know, like a deliverer of slaves, he was still playful. He was still like that.
Because his character wasn't like he changed because he did something wrong. It was more of he was just a byproduct of how he was raised.
Yeah, he, like, realized, like.
Which we can all relate to.
Exactly.
I've been raised.
He realized the truth of what he was raised in, and he escaped from it.
Yeah, and it's
that resonates
with which me. Makes it super interesting with like him and Pharaoh's like the Ramesses. He could have easily done like the same thing.
Yeah, his
character. You know, his character could have also been like, "Oh, what we've been doing is wrong," and then everyone would have been happy.
But the reason why is because his dad was so hard on him, and that's why that and like and I love that because like when they're enemies. They don't want to be. Yeah. Like, when, like, you know, when Pharaoh, like, finally releases the slaves, it was, like, a bittersweet thing where Moses was crying because, like, he didn't want this to happen.
Yeah. Oh, dude, that's one of my favorite parts of the movie. When he finally says, you can go, I think a movie in a lesser movie that it wasn't made as well would have immediately, like, been like, let's ramp up the happy music. They did it. They're going free. But it took, like, several minutes of, like, kind of somber leaving because you're like, this is a victory, but it doesn't feel good for Moses because he just watched essentially his brother's child die, like his nephew.
Yeah.
And that's not like, he's not like, hooray, we did it. And it takes a little while before the music builds you back up to being like, okay, they're on a good path now.
I love that part. So, and like when they were talking, like before like the final plague happened, when they were talking, they talked in the same like room that they would talk in when they were like brothers in Egypt.
Yeah.
It looks like they do like little callbacks like that. Like that you don't even notice until like they make it obvious later.
And he's always Moses is always like reaching out in between like every single punishment or every single plague. He's hey man, like I don't hate you.
The only thing though is like we were saying that like how would he not find that room with the babies being alligators on it when he was there his whole life?
And then they visit it like four more times throughout the rest of the movie. I'm like, this isn't out of your way. You would have seen it.
I think it's one of those things where like
he just didn't think pay about attention
it,
to it.
Still, like his sister, like talked.
He just thought it was weird art. He was like, this isn't poor taste.
He's like, this is Picasso.
he walks by and every time the dad is just like, oh, you don't want to go in there.
You don't want to go in there. Yeah, because like when he met his sister for the first time in Jeff Goldblum, because he's more Jeff Goldblum than Aaron. It was because like James was like, why is he whistling the same song as like in the musical number? Like remember when Moses was whistling and like it was because like his mother hemmed him in like a lullaby and then his sister.
And attacking the power of Juju basket. And that basket didn't look good.
That basket did not look.
So a lot of the 3D things in this, I was like, I see that that's 3D.
You can see it's dated, you know.
It's dated, it's but it's perfect. Fine. But everything it's else fine. Is so
yeah, good. But that's, it proves our point from earlier. The stuff that looks dated is when they do 3D stuff and
but
not
when you
the
were
2D
saying,
animation.
That was the same lullaby and that's how he linked it to
that's
like,
how,
oh.
But I mean, like, that's like that kind of emotional moment. It's like, stuff that like it's because
that was the turning point for Kuzco when he figured that out.
I hate you, Kuzco.
It's like when they were on the horse. Even they were on the horse. Like, is that Kuzco?
Is that Kuzco
from Emperor's New Groove?
Yeah,
the llama.
Back. And then when that fat guy, the little Egyptian fat guy, comes around, I was like, is he gonna chuck that guy out of his window?
Sorry.
Yeah, for throwing off his groove. That's when he pushes. That's when he pushes that. when he pushes that slave driver off that thing. Oh, he threw off his groove.
Man, when they were whipping the scenes, like, it stressed me out. Like, there's a lot of parts that stressed me out as a child.
Yeah, when
Moses had that dream.
Yeah.
Like, that 3D rendered, like, mosaic piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hieroglyphics, sorry.
When the Holy Spirit is killing all his children.
This movie had so many, like severely striking images that I hadn't seen this movie since I was like very young, and as soon as they appeared on screen I was holy crap, I remember this. Like, the guy he pushes falling down towards the camera, I was like, oh crap, I remember this part.
Yeah,
like all that stuff. And
it was weird for me, I remembered his hair, tuft of hair coming up
above the sand. Yeah, me too.
I remember when I read it in the Bible, that part where Moses killed that man, Pharaoh actually wanted to kill Moses, but in the movie Ramesses wanted to let him go,
because in the Bible Moses had to flee because they were gonna kill him.
Yeah, they were gonna kill him
in the movie.
And then
Ramesses was
like, no, you're innocent, I want, because Ramesses loved him that much as a brother.
Yeah,
which made more sense.
No, it made more sense for him to flee because he was gonna get killed. In the movie he's like, I gotta flee because I'm just mad. You know what I mean? Which is fine. It was more of a character-driven way to do it. But it makes more sense for you to want to run away from the city because they're going to murder you. You know what I mean?
And then this part where he, like, goes on to his knees in front of that giant wall of sand that's coming towards him. And he's just like, he's like, it's time to die.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It's really such a good movie.
It's really well animated.
Like, yeah.
It's well animated.
It makes me miss him. A lot.
It makes me sad that, like,
it makes me miss it. It makes, like, 2D.
You mean when they did traditional? I thought you meant like miss animation period. I'm like, what?
You know what I mean.
It makes me sad that you can't make, like, religiously based movies and get them, like, a big enough budget to do them in, like, this grand scale anymore. Like, no, like,
religion was popping, dude.
Noah. Still, like, they never say God in that whole movie. They always say the creator. So it's always, honestly, like, they distance themselves from it, but they always say, like, it's the creator. And
they said God a couple
times. They did? I didn't notice.
We were kind of talking through, but
also, I don't know, man. That movie's, like, just give us more like this, you know?
Yeah.
And I want, and I'm not even saying just necessarily, like, Christian movies. Like, I think you should be able to get your movie, like, widely released for, like, any religion you want to make a movie about. If it's, like, a cool story, do it.
Yeah. I want a Buddhism animated movie.
That would be dope.
In, like, a more Asian art style. That'd be so cool.
DreamWorks should do that. I think if DreamWorks does, like, is on that path along with doing movies like How to Train Your Dragon, I think they can be, like, I think they can have a way to beat Disney. Because I want someone to beat Disney.
That is the cool thing about DreamWorks, is they're known for, and when they don't do it, I don't feel like they're as popular. When they've been known to, like, go against whatever the main thing is.
Yeah, I mean? That was how they started. Like, Jeffrey Katzenberg's like, fuck you, Disney, I'm going to do Shrek. I'm going to do Ants. I'm going to do, like, a Prince of Egypt film.
I'm gonna do Shrek.
He really stuck it to him with Ants.
Like, there's no bigger of a fuck.
I hope you heard they were gonna make Bug's Life, like, years.
He did. There's a whole thing about it. There's a whole thing about how he was, like, involved with the production. There's, like, a whole conspiracy where he was involved with the production of Bug's Life and he made Ants at the same time.
Got him. And it did so much better.
I've never known somebody in the business to hate Disney more than Jeffrey Katzenberg.
That's so funny.
He made, like, nothing's more of a bigger middle finger than Ants and Shrek, especially Shrek.
Oh, Shrek for sure, because it was, like, successful.
Yeah.
Shrek's, like, a bigger hit than most of the Disney movies that have come out.
Shrek,
like,
is huge. We forget how big Shrek is.
Dude, everybody, because you could come
everyone knows who Shrek is.
You could ask a random person on the street in any country of the world, Shrek? They'll be like, oh, I know Shrek.
Yeah, I know Shrek. See, Shrek.
Here's
Mexico.
Yeah.
See, Shrek.
You know, Shrek. See, Shrek.
See, sing a Shrek.
But yeah, I just, you know, that'd be cool. I think DreamWorks, how can you be so, like, colossally hit or miss as a studio?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, they made, instead of making, like, a movie like a new version of Jonah or, like, that Buddha's movie, they made fucking Turbo and Mr. Peabody and Sherman.
They have, like, their top tiers, which are, like, Shrek, Prince of Egypt, How to Train Your Dragon, and those can go, like, toe-to-toe with, like, any Disney movie.
It could.
And then but then they ruin their reputation when they're like, oh, also, here's freaking the Croods.
It's a lot like, of people like I feel the like they see what Illumination's doing, like, oh, that's popular with the kids.
And I wish.
And they gotta make money.
And somebody's gotta. Money, yeah, but the best way, and I think movie studios know this, but they're too scared to, because also what makes money is like appealing to kids. But the number one way, if you already have an audience that'll come see your movie to make money, is to make a great movie.
Nah.
And
yeah. You just gotta put animals that talk in it.
And they all gotta have a dance party at the end.
And it's gotta be Minions. Called Sing or Secret Life of Pets or Minions.
Minions.
Or Hotel Transylvania, which is good though. But
screw you, Illumination. Your movies already look great. Just write a good script. For the love of God, and stop putting popular music in when it doesn't make sense.
Because I'm happy.
See, you know what? Like,
Pharrell doesn't exist in the world of the Grinch.
They're in the real world. In the Grinch, they're in the real world.
They're in the snowflake.
And they heard.
No, they're not even. They're like in that supermarket. It's like set now.
Oh, they are in the real world.
Yeah.
Is it supposed to be the real world? I thought it was supposed to be Whomville.
Maybe it's Whomville, but it's set in our time. So they have
they modernize.
Well, I mean, that's fine. That's
no,
fine that
it's not.
I mean, it's not inherently like a huge problem with it. But I think my problem with it is if they want to have a pop song come on that's written for the movie, that's one thing. I still wouldn't be a huge fan of it.
But
what pisses me off is the fact
that
it is
a Grinch song. It's the theme song to the Grinch. Use that.
But you know what I'm saying? Like the thing that pisses me off about it is that they're using existing song from real world
from
and I'm like
movie too.
Yeah, from it was made for Despicable Me
and then they
screw
used,
you
they
you cheap sons of
you
I,
cheap
I shouldn't be saying this if I ever try to work with Illumination they're gonna be like ah but you said this
no you know what those,
no, you
they'll
should,
hear
I
you
wouldn't.
Say that and they'll go oh you got us because they know
yeah I well I just want to let them know that I see them.
They're
and
good
I want
animators.
And, yeah and
that's
everyone working for that
stuff.
Studio except for the writing isn't the story is not good. Every other aspect of it is like from the production standpoint, they nail. And that's why if every aspect of the movie looked like garbage, like if it was written badly and looked terrible, like Norm of the North, I wouldn't be mad at them. I'd be
you
like,
know,
well, they just suck.
Enormous.
Can
you
we
know,
kick that?
You know, no, hell no. You know what? You know what's usually a bad sign
Norm
for stuff like
North.
That. Is when they do like modern songs or their characters dancing in promotions. Because you don't see that with Coco or Inside Out. They never dance.
They dance
you
in
know?
Coco.
They dance in Coco. Well, not, but
not
I know what he means.
Like,
to
sell.
It's not like a dance party.
Yeah. It's
yeah.
not like a dance party to sell the product, you know?
Yeah. If they had a Coco tie-in video game, I would play that shit. It's like Rock Band.
I would play that shit.
It's Rock Band, but it's all the sad
skeletons.
Songs they play.
Yeah.
It's like Rock Band, but acoustic Mexican.
Remember
that's good.
Actually,
I would play it. I would play
that.
Up
I would
play
the shit out of that.
Dude, there is
play
an up video
game.
Did you? I haven't played
you
it.
You can ride the bird?
Did you play the up video game?
No.
You know, is it that bad
game?
That I assumed that you did, though?
Yeah. You know what's a good game? The Toy Story 3 game? That game's awesome.
Dude, the Toy Story 2 game is dope.
I forget that you guys play a lot of games themed off of movies.
It's just
yeah,
Jake. I haven't played
a lot,
but I have played.
You and Logan. I knew better.
Toy Story 3,
the
game, there's a whole mode called the Toy Box mode, and it's you get to build your town, and then you get to run around as Buzz Lightyear, and you're the sheriff or Woody, and you get to fight Zurg. It's awesome.
That sounds like fun, actually.
Did
you ever play the Toy Story 2 spin-off game where
game.
It's just the
space
opening
part.
Space level?
It's so good.
It's dope.
That, okay. They need to do that. Side point, they need to do that instead of Toy Story 4.
Do a Buzz... They did this. Did you ever see the show, the Buzz Lightyear?
Yeah, that doesn't count. No.
That's a good show.
Buzz Lightyear
Space
Command.
Yeah, that show was awesome. And he had his little red dinosaur friend, and then he had
the
skinny yellow head.
Yeah.
And he was the smart
why
guy.
Why can't they make that into the new movie instead of Toy Story 4?
Well,
you
Toy
know?
Story 4 is not really making a whole lot of progress.
Yeah.
Good. It needs to die.
They're out of stories. It's just going to be called Toy 4. There's no story.
Toy 4.
Toy 4-y.
They're just going to call it Toy.
Toy. Dude, if they call it Toy 4-y.
I'm in.
Toy
4. I'm back in.
Oh, man.
And it's all about Woody.
Prince of Egypt. Oh, yeah,
yeah.
No, another thing that I love about Prince of Egypt is that for the first time, in fact, the only time, I've seen a lot of Bible movies. The only time
Bible Man
is that they actually had character Bible Man.
I love Bible
that Man. Those characters based on the Bible actually looked fucking Hebrew and Egyptian.
Yeah.
They did not look white.
Which is a weird thing.
Didn't get the voice actors.
Weird because like the voice actors are white, but you know, baby steps, guys.
Yeah. Maybe we're on our way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the voice actor for Kratos in God of War is a black guy.
Yeah, so. But I mean, like, these characters are depicted to be real according to the Bible, so, you know.
I liked how long everyone
I don't know. Is it bad of me? Like, we've talked about it. We've had long discussions. I don't honestly care about voice acting if the race is the same as long as they're
drawn to look.
The voice
for the short, fat guy.
Did not fit.
I was like, that's not him.
You did say, like, unless, like, those people that they're playing in the movies were real. And according to the Bible, I mean, they could be real. I don't know if they...
Wait, what? No, I didn't say that.
Don't contact my lawyer.
No, I said real, like, live action.
Yeah.
I said if they're live action, then you should pick the same race. But I said voice acting for cartoons, they're not... That's what I mean.
Oh.
He doesn't care as long as the character is drawn to look like the correct race.
Yeah, if they drew them white and they were white voice acting, that'd be annoying.
Well, like, that was back in the day where they didn't really care about that, but now it's like a thing.
Oh, people would get, like, mad, but I'm saying I wouldn't.
And
it's the same way as if, like, a character in a show is white and they choose, like, someone, like, some kind, whatever race you want as the voice actor.
I love it if we got
I don't care.
Is the ideal. The reason why people get mad is because racism exists. If racism didn't exist at all, and it was a black comic book character and they made him white, no one would care if there was no racism. You know what I mean?
No one would care.
Like, it'd just be like, whatever, because we know no one's being racist about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, when they change
we know
Ben,
there's no malice.
Like, when they change
it.
Ben Urich from Daredevil from white to black, I don't give a shit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because you know, because you know
racist.
they're not
doing it racist.
Yeah, you know that they're not like, oh,
racistly?
I hate white people.
Yeah.
Well, you know it's not coming from a place where they're like, I hate white people, so I'm going to make this guy
black. No, I was laughing at the word racist.
Like, they picked that guy because they thought he would be good as Ben Urich.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he was. He was one of the best parts.
Or like Perry White.
Perry White Morpheus is way good.
Dude, yeah, he's way cool. Like, I can't imagine anyone else being it now.
Yeah.
I'm saying, like the voice acting in this movie particularly is amazing.
Yeah, you know, Val Kilmer
they,
of all people.
They even had Val Kilmer play Moses and God.
So he's talking to himself.
Every Jew knows from the Torah that God is Hebrew.
Now I can say, yeah, God is Hebrew. I can say
Yahweh.
I can say I like Jeff Goldblum's voice acting, but I can make the argument that his voice didn't fit that character.
As a kid, I always thought it fit.
Yeah,
I thought it did fit.
The only reason I think,
from an objective standpoint, like, Val Kilmer pulled it off where it feels believable.
And I don't think when he's talking, I'm not going Val Kilmer. I'm going, oh, it's Moses.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Same with Ramses, and same with, like, the old Pharaoh.
Yeah, now if they get the ethnicity of the person to match the character, that's cool. Whatever.
Yeah, it just wouldn't feel the same, honestly.
Did you guys?
Like, the voice acting was just that amazing.
Could you guys see shades of Road to El Dorado in this when they did the By the Power of Ra scene? I was like, this is like in Road to El Dorado when that guy does his weird jaguar ritual.
Yes,
it's the same.
Yeah, when like
Sekou Khan.
Yeah,
Sekou Khan does his like his cult magic in like Road to El Dorado. It reminds you of like From the Power of Ra.
His Road to El Dorado. Oh yeah, when that was like, explain this to me. That was a good one.
That was fun.
Yeah, that was good.
From the Power of Ra.
And I liked
that. He leans back and he's like, "Let me get out my red beans or whatever."
Yeah, and he tosses them in and it takes them.
And everyone goes, "They can do it too."
It's hopeless.
I like that he fooled everyone.
Yeah, and the Pharaoh buys it. He goes, "All right."
Pharaoh goes, "Awesome."
He puts his hand in it and it visually looks like thin and not like blood. And he's like,
it looks like tomato paste.
He's like, awesome.
Food coloring Moses.
Again. This was from our childhood.
Yeah.
He always used that. But yeah.
It was an omen. They had to fast for 2 months. Right, I was furious.
I have one last question before we go to emails. Is Road to El Dorado a good movie?
I've never liked that movie.
Really?
Maybe we'll pick it one week and make it.
I didn't like it as a kid, and I tried it at SCAD, and I remember
you just roasted it the whole time. You did not give it a chance.
Dude, I didn't give it a chance, but it was so much fun.
Well,
Armand, we're just sitting back there going, oh, that guy's these guys are Spanish, clearly.
While they were, like, making beans in the classroom.
Clearly Spanish. Oh, man, at least they had, like, at least in Prince of Egypt, they had, like, an Israeli girl. Remember, the voice of Moses' mother is from Israel.
Well, that's cool.
So that's the only thing.
Just one step.
But, yeah, I love Road to El Dorado. You don't like Road to El Dorado?
No.
That's, like, one of my favorite animated films.
We'll pick it 1 week.
Yeah, we'll try it.
Yeah, we'll try
and
it.
And Ants.
Oh, I want to watch Ants again. Because I loved Ants as a kid.
I liked Ants.
All right. I didn't like Ants. I thought it was creepy.
Well, then we'll try it.
Ants just
look. I like the scene. I like how violent it was.
If I give Ants a shot, and then you're giving El Dorado a shot, I'll give Ants a shot.
All right, we'll do that.
And then we'll make Hiram give Madea a shot.
But not us. We don't have to watch.
No, I'm not watching Madea.
All right, let's do emails now.
All right, let me put those emails.
What happened?
While you look it up.
Feeling glad I got sunshine.
Oh, you're already ready.
In a bag, I'm useless. But in a bag, the future is in a bag.
All right, we have one email.
Damn.
From Brosif, a.k.a. Ian. Wow, this is a hefty email.
We need to send him a t-shirt or something.
Hey, guys and gals, Hiram. How are y'all doing? He got you so bad.
Shots fired.
Dude, he got you so bad.
Yeah, well, your last name is like, you can't spell your last name without cult, bitch.
Oh,
all right, moving on.
He says, how y'all doing? He wants to know how you're doing, Hiram.
Oh, well, I'm doing fine. Thank you for asking. Sorry for calling you a bitch.
Yeah, sorry about that, Ian. And women are great. That's actually a compliment.
I have two questions. One, have you guys read the Marvel Ruins comics and did you enjoy them? And two, what's your opinion on the Tenacious D movie? Anyway, have a good week.
I haven't seen the Tenacious D movie.
Those are two
movie.
Completely unrelated things.
Yeah, I know. You like Marvel Ruins and Tenacious D?
I have seen parts of the Tenacious D movie, and from what
I've seen parts.
It's
amazing.
I've
seen parts.
Yeah, it's good.
I've heard the best song in the world.
Yeah, I've seen the end battle with the devil.
Yeah, I saw the devil part. Yeah,
but
that's amazing.
And I haven't read Marvel Ruins.
And that was when I was a kid, when I was like still kind of Christian, but I was like, this is awesome, but I shouldn't be watching this.
You're like, ooh, I'm on the devil's side. Is that bad?
I'm on the devil's side. Is that bad?
I'm
a bad boy.
Is it naughty?
I like the devil.
I remember when I was a kid and all I had seen of Jack Black was School of Rock, and I was online and I found it as Jack Black's soundboard, and it was all of him saying really vulgar things, and I was like, what? But Jack Black's a family-friendly guy. He's a Nacho Libre.
Really vulgar.
But I was like, he was like dropping F-bombs all over the place in it. And I was like, what? And now as an adult, I'm like, of course.
I feel like Tenacious D is like that Jack Black movie that he's always wanted to do. Because like in every other movie, he seems like he always wants to rock out. You know?
He does rock out in School of Rock.
Besides School of Rock.
Tenacious D was his real band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I want to... I love School of Rock.
That's a good movie.
That movie's like a masterpiece.
It is a masterpiece.
All right.
That's Richard Linklater's best movie.
He did that?
Yeah.
Oh, that is good.
I feel like I'd piss a lot of people off saying that. That's my favorite.
Have you seen Dazed and Confused though?
I haven't. I've seen Before Sunset or Sunrise or whatever. Yeah. I haven't seen all three of them. I've only seen the first one.
Yeah, I need to see those.
I need to see the other two. But so far, it did not dethrone School of Rock.
Have you seen Hood Boys? I mean, Boyhood, sorry.
I have seen Boyhood.
Hood Boys.
We watched it together.
Yeah, not overrated.
I like it.
Can I say that?
I think...
Is the internet?
You're allowed
to say
express
that?
Your opinion?
No.
It's a podcast.
Unless it's just Tumblr where there's SJWs. You can't have it.
Those damn SJWs.
Hiram,
why do you always bring up SJWs?
Hiram.
Because you can't have an opinion around them.
Hiram,
I'm sorry.
Hiram, you're just a... neo-Nazi
corporate
alt-right
seller.
Yeah, and Jake, you're
like,
just
I'm a liberal, but goddamn, you cannot have
liberal.
An opinion around
Jake, you're just a liberal snowflake cuck.
Harvey, you should have been on the episode with Nick Pitara. That's all he talked about were SJWs on Twitter.
Oh
yeah,
I'll talk about SJWs on Tumblr. They're far worse,
guys. Ian continues.
He's not done. Oh.
He says, anyway, have a good week and to yeet or not to yeet, that is the question. Whether 'tis danker in the mind to yeet the slings and arrows of dank fortune or to yeet arms against a sea of troubles. And by yeeting, end them. To yeet, no more. and by a sleep to say we eat, the heartache and the thousand dank shocks that flesh yeets heir to, tis a consummation devoutly to yeet
what
yeeted.
Are you talking about?
To yeet, to yeet, to yeet, perchance to yeet. A, there's the rub, for in the sleep of death, what dreams may yeet?
God,
when we have yeeted
like
off this dank coil, must yeet us pause. There yeets the respect. There yeets the respect that yeets the calamity of so dank life. For
God,
who would yeet the whips and scorns of time? The oppressor yeets wrong. The dank man's contumely, the pangs of dank love. I think he typoed. Well, it says contumely, the pangs of dank love, the law's delay, the insolence of office, and the spurns that that dank merit of the dank takes, when he himself might his quietus yeet with a dank bodkin. Don't know what that is. Who?
Bodkin? Was there a question mark in there?
Yeah, there's a question. There's a question.
It is?
Bodkin?
Yeah. Bodkin? I don't know.
For would Fardell's yeet to yeet.
I think and even he didn't know what that was.
Under a dank life.
He obviously copied and pasted this.
But,
and found, and replaced all of it with yeets.
But that the dread of something after death. The dank country for whose born no traveler yeets. Yeets he will, and makes us rather yeet those ills yeet than yeet to others than we yeet not of. Thus conscience does. Oh, conscience.
Oh my God, dude.
It's still going.
It's almost over. Okay. Thus conscience does yeet cowards of us all. And thus the dank hue of resolution. I'm giving this the respect it deserves,
God,
Jake.
Shut up. You really want Ian to like you more.
And enterprise of dank pit. And moment, with this regard, their currents yeet dank, and yeet the name of action. Soft you now. The dank Ophelia, nymph, in thy horizons. Yeet all my sins. Yeeted.
Is that it?
Yes.
Wow.
That's an original poem from Ian, recited by me. I don't think it was, and I'm pretty sure it's from Shakespeare because it says Ophelia.
Got him. Bodkin. Don't know what that means.
Bodkin. Don't know what that means. He didn't write that.
Oh, I know. You added that. You improv that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm known for my improv when reading poems.
All right, Hiram, what's your pick for next week?
My pick was going to be a little unique.
Okay, I like that.
I was going to pick the first episode of Simpsons, the first episode of Futurama, and the first episode of Disenchantment.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, I haven't watched that one yet.
Oh, yeah, you should check it out, because we'll talk about it next week, but I have... We have opinions about the new show.
Yeah, we do. Which we haven't finished it yet. Kareem saw it. He enjoyed it, but he has a lot to say
about it. Ask him to write in.
Yeah, no. I want to talk to him about it because I haven't got a chance to because I was working. But we're gonna talk about it over the phone, and then he's gonna write in what he thinks about it, and we're gonna talk about it more. So those are my picks.
Okay, cool. I'll do that.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I've watched a lot of The Simpsons. I don't think I've actually watched the very first one.
The very first one is it's a Christmas episode, actually.
Oh, okay.
People don't even remember that. And the reason why I picked this is because I really loved the pilot for Futurama because it was a really good intro for the rest of the show of how it was going to be.
Yeah.
And then the pilot for Disenchantment, the very first episode, was not that good.
Yeah, so we'll talk
but
about
it. But it gets better.
Yeah,
so,
but we'll talk
know,
about
we'll talk
it.
About it.
James, what's yours? Oh, by the way, Evan Coltis said Thicky Nicky said hi on our Instagram story.
He said that?
Yeah.
Thicky Nicky?
Well, Thicky Nicky, you...
I don't know who that is.
You are our new picky.
Thicky Nicky?
No, No, no. Evan Coltis said, Thicky Nicky said hi.
Well, Thicky Nicky, I'll be honest with you. I hope you're a fan of our show. If not,
well, the
I'm not going to do anything different, so I'm going to just keep being me.
Don't you mean Evan Coltis?
No, because I'm talking to Thicky Nicky. I'm going right to the source.
Yeah, Evan Coltis didn't say hi to us. Thicky Nicky.
Hi, Evan. Right. And to Evan, I want to say, hi, Evan. How you doing?
Hi, Evan. All right. What's your pick?
Oh, God. I don't know.
Oh, Lord.
I can't. Hiram really made it difficult for me to force a theme here.
Don't force a theme. I'm not forcing a theme this week, by God. You picked Noah. You've got your theme.
Dude, what if I picked the second? What if I picked the second episode of The Simpsons?
Don't do that. That's lame.
No.
Or The Simpsons movie.
First, I want to say, if you're listening to this podcast, email us in and tell us whether or not you like the theme beliefs or not.
My God. James thinks and they might. Here's the thing. Our fans love these themes.
Yeah.
And we're sick of these themes. For the time
don't,
being.
Don't want me into it. I like the themes.
Oh, you love... No, James is the biggest advocate for the
for,
themes.
For the themes.
I'm a theme fiend.
Yeah.
You were about to disagree. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, makes it challenging. Kareem likes the theme weeks, he said. He told me that.
Oh, all right. Well, that's one for me.
That's one.
And zero for you guys.
Tell us you don't like them.
Well, email us in. If you're listening to this podcast, whoops.
Here's the thing. We've got themes so many weeks, I hope they like them.
Yeah.
You know
what you
think? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, but God. I hope they're okay.
I'm trying to check and see what's on Netflix.
Pick something
I keep accidentally playing
stuff. Something like a throwback, like Zaboomafu.
Yeah, give us some Zaboomafu.
I'm picking Shrek.
Just, what?
Really? If you want.
Unless we want to save that for a themed week.
It's funny because I kind of do.
Save it, yeah.
Yeah, for Throwback DreamWorks Week. Where we watch Road to El Dorado, Ants, and Shrek.
Why would that be a theme?
That's a weird theme.
That's a weird theme.
I'm going to do... Oh, man. Wait.
Think of a comic book you always wanted.
That's what I'm trying to think of. A good one I read.
I still haven't finished. Never mind.
We can do. There's a new book that the guy to The Walking Dead just came out with, and it's only got a few issues. But you guys can just read like the first, and I have them, so I can just give them to you.
Okay.
It's called Oblivion Song, and it's Robert Kirkman's new book, and it's pretty good so far, and I like it because, I'm tired of The Walking Dead, and this is like a refreshing new thing that. It still has his, like, you can tell he wrote it, but it's like him doing something else. You know what I mean? So, Oblivion, mm-hmm. Oblivion Song.
I'm still trying to figure out what I want.
We can talk about
Shrek. I'm having a hard time.
I knew Shrek if you want. It's your pick. You get to pick whatever you want.
That's the thing about,
why we started the podcast. And then it became about themes.
I'll pick what I don't want. I'm trying to pick something out of spite, because you guys won't let me have a theme.
If you were going to do a theme, we were actually plotting to like pick a horror movie.
Yeah, we're like, if you want.
Oh no, I'll be out. If you want to get me to not do a theme, that's the way. I'm gonna pick.
Yeah, we originally were thinking of a theme of nostalgia, like 90s nostalgia cartoons.
No, that would have been fun.
That would have been fun.
Too bad. We'll never do it now.
We still can.
It's hopeless.
We have a lot of weeks.
You're really sad about this no-themed week.
Guys, my pick is going to be...
Oh, yeah, when it started, he was like, we'll theme it sometimes. And then he was like, if it's not a theme, by God,
my pick is going to be Hoodwinked.
Really?
What? That's perfect!
That's great. I'll watch that.
I love Hoodwinked.
Yeah,
we'll
all
watch it together. Me too.
Yeah.
All like friends. As if you're friends.
We are... Well, this is just professionals. This is just a business.
Hiram's all right, but I can't stand Jake.
I know. You can feel it in his voice.
He hates the soundboard, and the soundboard's angry at him. Right? Right, soundboard?
The keys. Dude, the other night I went into Hiram's room with real keys, and I went, remember?
Remember. All right. Well,
that's it.
Email us in, fellas. Email us in.
Please. kfkgpodcast@gmail.com. And you can tweet us, and you can Facebook us, Kung Fu Kings, if you want to send us messages. Also on Instagram, Kung Fu Kings of Geekdom. Rate and review us. And guys, share with your friends.
And guys, please, I implore you, be safe out there.
Hey, be dangerous.
It's a dangerous world. Be
it's
safe.
It's a dog-e-dog world.
Dog-e-dog.
Dog-e-dog world.
Dogs, and then there's e-dogs that are always harassing you online.
It's a dog-e-dog world.
Dog-e-dog. Snoop dog-e-dog world.
Doggy it's dog. A Snoop Donnie-e-dog world.
Donnie-e-dog.
See you later. Bye. Thank you.